Hello, and welcome to the April 2024 Energy Regulation Roundup. This is a special one-year edition, and I want to say thank you guys so much for keeping up for the past 12 months. If you're new here, the Global Energy Regulation Roundup is dedicated to capturing and understanding emerging climate, energy, and reporting measures. Currently, as you may know, international governments are increasingly establishing stricter policies on emissions reporting, trade, and energy. The purpose of this monthly podcast and blog is to highlight approaching regulations and to educate key stakeholders about their effects on a range of industries. All right, so let's begin with the United States. It has taken California regulators, utilities, and clean energy advocates roughly 4 years to work out conflicting ideas to solve the pressing issue of inputting massive amounts of intermittent clean energy sources onto the state's grid. And yes, we're talking about renewable energy. The commission approved new interconnection rules that will ease the concerns of utility operations about adding solar and solar plus battery systems onto the grid. These new rules will allow distributed energy resources to be designed in a fashion that aligns with the dynamic needs of a grid. Approved by the CPUC, which is the California Public Utilities Commission, the limited generation profile option is a complex set of regulations that determine how solar and solar battery systems interact with lower voltage grids operated by California CPUC regulated utilities. The traditional thought process utilities use to consider the impacts of a power project usually will look at the peak output at the time of least electricity demand from customers. This strategy is how most of all of the U.S. utilities calculate the risk of new generation connecting to the grid. The CPUC's new policy takes a different approach and will allow solar and battery projects to modulate how much power they can send to the grid with the assistance of solar inverters, which can reduce power output. Limited generation profile projects would be able to use these capabilities to alter their grid injections during different periods of the day based on a set of schedules that they can choose from. As you may know, renewable energy is extremely intermittent, especially in regards to solar energy, and I think this is one of the largest unspoken about issues with renewable energy, especially when it comes to grid integration and the U.S.'s the status of the U.S.'s grid. And so I hope that these new rules and technologies to modulate the power output by these renewable projects can be replicated across the country. I would say, personal opinion, the state of California is very progressive and leaps and bounds ahead of many other states in terms of renewable energy. So hopefully we can see some other states down the line replicating a similar policy that works for their state's grid. Additionally, the Environmental Protection Agency announced 4 rules that target reducing pollution from fossil-fueled power plants, including coal and natural gas. In addition, limiting carbon pollution, the rules will further mercury releases, coal ash, and the use of water to wash away any contaminants. To target coal plants, the rule is a multi-tier and broken down into 3 categories. Any plant that will cease operation before the year 2032 will get an exemption, which is pretty interesting. Those that will shut down prior to 2039 will have to meet less stringent requirements, equivalent to replacing 40% of their fuel with natural gas. Anything operating past 2039 will have to eliminate 90% of its carbon emissions. Natural gas plants will face similar tiers of stringency, but this time based on how often they are in use. Plants that operate at less than 20% of their capacity, such as those that simply fill in during periods of low renewable energy production, can meet regulations simply by adopting low emissions fuel. Those that run between 20 and 40% of the time have to meet an operational efficiency standard, while anything that's operational over 40% of the time will have to eliminate 90% of its emissions. Additionally, these rules were strengthening the restrictions on the release of mercury and the use of water in coal operations. I think it's actually really refreshing to hear something coming out from the EPA specifically targeting fossil fuel power production. I think what we hear a lot, especially in the federal government space, is a lot of energy generation and renewable energy generation and investment in infrastructure for this. But we don't hear too much about federal laws restricting power production, especially within the fossil fuel space. So I believe this is effective, and I'm looking forward to seeing these laws being instated. And I hope to see more of these laws, maybe at a state level or just more RPSs overall. All right, so let's move on to the European Union. The Corporate Sustainability Due Diligence Directive moved one step closer to being signed into law after the EU Parliament approved the legislation on April 24th. This is different than last month, where the EU Council approved the CSDDD. So it looks like the CSDDD is about two steps closer to being signed. It's expected that in mid-May, the final approval will happen, and it will then go into a two-year process of being implemented in all of the EU member states. Additionally, the EU Parliament gave consent for the EU to exit the Energy Charter Treaty, an international agreement that protects energy investments. The 1998 Energy Charter Treaty allows energy companies to sue governments over policies that damage their investments. The European Union wants to leave the treaty as it feels that it creates an obstacle to fighting climate change and the energy transition. The final decision to exit the treaty is expected to come in May. If successful, this would have the treaty's current 50 signatories. Okay, so let's end off with Asia, and this is a pretty interesting one. So after 18 years, China's top legislature have finally been given the proposed energy law, which provides the framework to secure supplies and shift to a low-carbon power future. The national legislature will now be reviewing the energy law to govern security, innovation, and corporate behavior. The legislation is a sweeping law that covers aspects of the industry from planning, distribution, conservation, rural development, and pricing. The Legislative Affairs Commission said that the energy law is meant to improve energy planning, development, and emergency response, and encourage innovation in energy technology. The law was originally drafted in 2006, and it has been one of the longest journeys for any piece of Chinese legislation. China leads the global economy in emissions, but also the development and build-out of renewables such as solar and wind, as we all know. This law will hopefully continue to drive China's decarbonization journey and maintain aggressive stance. All right, well, thank you so much for joining us for the April 2024 Energy Regulation Roundup. As you know, the blog is posted monthly on ArcWeb and uploaded as a podcast just a few days after. I appreciate you guys for listening in, and feel free to contact me at gsimon@arcweb if you have any stories that you would wish for it to be included next month. Thanks.